Let us turn again to the part of God's word that we read, Hosea chapter 11, and we shall read from verse 1. When Israel was a child, then I loved him and called my son out of Egypt. As they called them, so they went from them. They sacrificed unto Balaam and burned incense to graven images. I taught Ephraim also to go, taking them by their arms. But they knew not that I healed them. I drew them with cords of a man, with bands of love. And I was to them as they that take off the yoke on their jaws, and I laid meat unto them. And so on. Especially verse 4. I drew them with cords of a man, with bands of love. And so on. What a precious expression of God's word. How wonderful is the way that God describes his gentle dealings with sinners of mankind. He draws them with cords of a man, with bands of love. Have you been drawn to the Lord? God shows the people of Israel how he cared for them. And he shows them that he had not made them serve with rigor as in Egypt. God dealt with them kindly and gently. And his gracious dealing with them really shows their ingratitude, that they were not thankful like they should have been. When they sinned against him, that showed that they were not thankful for what he had done for them. God's love to them really increases their guilt, the guilt of their disobedience. As Richard Sibbes says, love deserves love, and they had rejected a loving and merciful God. And so it is with us, friends. When God has been good to us in providing our every need, we turn around and dishonor him with our sins. We are not as so unlike the children of Israel as we think we are. How we need to see the goodness of God, how we need to appreciate with new eyes what he has done for us. And all of this should motivate us to come near to him in faith, in love, trusting in Christ for salvation. So, friends, may we seek grace this evening, that we might view the mercy of God drawing us with cords of a man, with bands of love. And we will try to, with the Lord's help, consider this verse and these words and this expression. I drew them with cords of a man, with bands of love, as it is applied in the first instance to the children of Israel. And secondly, to the visible church, and thirdly, to the child of God. How these words, I drew them with cords of a man, with bands of love, are applied to the children of Israel, the visible church, and last of all, the child of God. Have we been drawn to Christ? Are we looking to Jesus? Are we truly trusting in him for salvation? That is the work of the Holy Spirit, drawing our hearts to close with Christ and embrace him for the salvation of our never-dying souls, and how God should be glorified for that wonderful work of love in drawing our hearts to the God of love. I drew them with cords of a man, with bands of love. First of all, the children of Israel. God was good to the children of Israel. He had showed them much kindness. He had delivered them from Egyptian bondage. He provided for them in the wilderness. He led them to the promised land. He drove out the Canaanites, and he established his people there. But what was their response? Yes, there were times, many times, when the people prayed to the Lord and served him, as in the time of David and Solomon. But often we read in the Old Testament that the children of Israel rebelled against God. They worshipped idols. How different was their behavior toward God from God's actions towards them? and the goodness of God that was so manifest in their life and experience in Israel showed the evil of their rebellious ways. The goodness of God should have led them to repentance, but so often they reacted in unkindness toward him. Well, see the kindness of God. See his love to the children of Israel as a people. When, first of all, we read that he calls them his son. Verse 1. When Israel was a child, then I loved him and called my son out of Egypt. God loved Israel as a father loves his son. Remember, Moses was instructed to say to Pharaoh, "Thus saith the Lord, Israel is my son, even my firstborn. And I say unto thee, let my son go, that he may serve me. And if thou refuse to let him go, behold, I will slay thy son, even thy firstborn." What love and favor was shown to the children of Israel in that God called them his son, his firstborn. The firstborn, of course, had the right to the inheritance, and the firstborn had the priority. And Israel was God's chosen. God had loved and favored Israel more than all the other nations. And Israel had God for his portion and Israel's inheritance. And God also speaks of Israel as when he was a child. When Israel was a child, then I loved him and called my son out of Egypt. It was when Israel was young and just beginning to be a nation. God loved him, even when Israel was in Egypt. A poor, miserable, afflicted people, God loved them, and God delivered them. And as we recall reading in Deuteronomy chapter 7, that God did not set his love upon Israel, nor choose them because they were more in number than any people, but because the Lord simply loved them. He loved them because he loved them. And this is the sovereign, free purpose of God in his love to his people. And he called them while they were in hard bondage, and he called them from that house of bondage and brought them out with a strong and mighty hand. And of course, you will remember that Christ as an infant was in Egypt too. And Joseph and his mother took Jesus there in Egypt to avoid the slaughter of Herod. And it was from there that Christ came back to the land of Israel, so that we read in the Gospel according to Matthew that Jesus was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, "Out of Egypt have I called my son." And the words of Hosea are here in our chapter 11, are a prophecy. Though it is speaking of the past, it is still a prophecy because Israel was a type of Christ in being God's chosen. And Israel, in all of its circumstances, being chosen and being favored above all nations, is pointing to Christ. And both have the same name or title, being God's son, because of the union that exists between Christ and his people. The union between Christ and his people. And we have to ask ourselves, are we united to Christ? Are we sons or daughters through faith in Christ? How we need the Holy Spirit to draw our hearts to Christ. Friend, pray for the Holy Spirit that he would draw you even now. And we read in verse 2 in our chapter that the people did not listen to God. As they called them, so they went from them. They sacrificed unto Balaam and burned incense to graven images. And what is meant by this? As they called them, so they went from them. Well, the prophets called the people, and the people went away from the prophets. Moses and Aaron called them, Elijah, Micaiah, Hosea, Joel, Amos, all of these prophets, they called the people to repentance. But the people went away from the prophets. They turned away in contempt. As we read in Jeremiah chapter 2 and verse 27, they have turned their back unto me and not their face. Friend, are you turning your back on God? Or are you turning your face to him? Pray that the Lord would draw you, that you would turn your face to the Lord, and that you would be found in Christ. So we read that the people rebelled, they sacrificed unto Balaam and burned incense to graven images. Balaam, that is, images of Baal that were set up in various places. They engaged in acts of worship to false gods, and they rejected the living and true God. How ungrateful they were! How could they do this when God had done such wonderful things for them? What had God done for them? Verse 3, we find out that God says, I taught Ephraim also to go, taking them by their arms, but they knew not that I healed them. Now, the picture is that of a little child learning to take his first steps. And God was saying he was taking Israel by the arms and helping Ephraim or Israel to go along. And literally, the word go is, and teaching is together, teaching them to use their feet, just as a parent would teach the child how to walk and use his feet, taking their first steps. And God's care of the people of Israel was just like a parent taking care of a helpless, weak child, so that the child doesn't need to be anxious about food and clothing, but has all his or her needs met. So God took care of the people, helping them, providing for them, and again, taking them by their arms, as a father holds up the child by the child's arms, so that the child does not fall as he learns to walk. And again, God gave them basic instructions, as a parent gives the first teaching about the very elements of education. So God gave his people the elements of morality. It was then that he gave them the Ten Commandments, teaching the people also by the types and ceremonies, which are figures or comparisons to help them. He suited the teaching to their capacity. He was drawing them with the cords of a man, with bands of love. But we also read, but they knew not that I healed them. They did not understand that when God was delivering them out of Egypt, when God was giving them the institutions, the Mosaic law and ceremonies, God meant to heal them. I am the Lord that healeth thee. But they were not responding that way. They were not going along with the teaching so as to be turning from sin. They were not being healed spiritually. They were temporally. They many of them began to prosper. But God says, they knew not that I healed them. All of the things that God had given them was intended to restore them spiritually, to heal their souls. Just like we read in 1 Peter chapter 2, the apostle says about Christ, by whose stripes ye were healed. And we're to seek spiritual restoration, the healing of our souls, not only to be saved from the guilt of sin, but the power of sin. God does not save us just to let us go on in sin, but he saves us from sin, that our souls will be healed. And how are we responding to the gospel? How are we responding to the benefits that we receive every day? Are we being healed? Are we being spiritually renewed? Pray for the Holy Spirit, friend, that the Holy Spirit would restore your soul, that you would be healed spiritually. And we read in our text, verse 4, I drew them with cords of a man, with bands of love, and I was to them as they that take off the yoke on their jaws, and I laid meat unto them. God shows them here his wonderful, tender dealings with them. He drew them with cords of a man, that is, with gentle cords or ropes. And again, the allusion appears to be that of a parent in ancient times who would carefully lead their toddlers with cords or strings to help them learn to walk. As Adam Clark, I think, says, this is a reference to leading strings, one end of which is held by the child and the other by the nurse, by which the little one, feeling some support and gaining confidence, endeavors to walk. So the cord would be held both by the parent and by the child, and when the child feels that the other end is supported by the parent, the child feels confidence to take the first steps. And so it is with the Lord in the way that he deals with the people of Israel. It is all to encourage them, to draw them. I drew them with cords of a man, with bands of love. He drew them. He didn't force them. He helped them, and not being harsh to them, but lovingly helped them. And the word man in the expression, I drew them with cords of a man, is full of meaning. Literally, the cords of Adam, cords of a man, which is showing that God is dealing with them not as a man would deal with a beast, but as a man would deal with a fellow man. God did not compel the people with violence. He did not deal with them as if they were beasts of burden, as if they had no understanding, but must be held in with bit and bridle. No, God dealt with them and drew them with cords of a man, in a rational and gentle way, in a kind and tender way, in a friendly, fatherly way, God drew the people of Israel. And so the cords of a man show the gentleness of God in his dealings with the people, knowing that they were weak, knowing that they were not capable of comprehending great mysteries all in an instant. But he taught the people. He taught the people as they were capable of learning a little at a time. And surely this shows us how the Lord deals with us in our frailty and teaches us in a way that is suitable to our condition. Again, he taught the people little by little, using comparisons to help them, as we read in the following chapter, verse 10. I have also spoken by the prophets, and I have multiplied visions and used similitudes by the ministry of the prophets. The prophets had visions, and they would communicate what they had seen in the vision to the people, all to help them understand more clearly, more plainly, the truth of God. See how willing God is to help us and instruct us in order for us to understand his word. So God draws with the cords of a man that which is capable for mere men to understand. And shows us also that God is full of compassion and he is merciful. I drew them with cords of a man, which no doubt brings out the compassion of God. God's dealings with the children of Israel were humane. God was not cruel and harsh. God helped the people as a man would help his neighbor, out of love and pity. When a person helps his neighbor, that person's humanity comes to expression. When the emotions of a person are vivid, a feeling for another person who is in need, truly caring for others, not a stone, not a beast, but a man with feelings. I drew them with cords of a man, with bands of love. Now, God is not man. Our chapter makes that very clear. I will not return to destroy Ephraim, for I am God and not man. But you see, God is often said to deal with us in certain situations as a man would when possessed of certain emotions. In Judges chapter 10, verse 15, we read about the people of Israel after they had sinned. They confessed their sin, they repented, they turned away from their idols, and we read that they served the Lord, and his soul, that is, speaking of God, his soul was grieved for the misery of Israel. God cared for the children of Israel as a man would do when he had pity on a person in need. Is it not the case when we see the sufferings of others, we are melted into tears of sympathy? Well, God draws the children of Israel with cords of a man. There is divine tenderness and pity coming before us in these words, even as it is said of the Lord in Isaiah chapter 63 and verse 9, "In all their affliction he was afflicted, and the angel of his presence saved them. In his love and in his pity he redeemed them, and he bare them and carried them all the days of old." It's as if he himself suffered with them. How ready he was to deliver them. He had said to Moses, "I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows, and I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians. I drew them with cords of a man, with bands of love." He drew them not by force, but by love. When he brought the people out of Egypt, he gave them instructions, but he also encouraged them with promises. He indeed remembered his promise and his word to Abraham, and in his love and in his pity, he redeemed them. He saved them from Egypt. He caused them to pass through the Red Sea. He drew them through and out of many waters. He pulled them out of the pit, the miry clay of sin and slavery. Oh, that's what we need, friends, that the Lord would draw us out of many waters, the waters of the world, the waters of wickedness that's in our own hearts. So the Lord is saying that he dealt gently with the people of Israel. "I drew them with cords of a man, with bands of love." He was not violent towards them as the Egyptians were, lashing them with whips. God drew them with the gentle strings that a parent would draw the child with. He did not yank the cords to hurt them. He drew them with tenderness. And all they experienced from God was to draw them to himself. That was the intended effect. And with the believing Israelites, that was the result indeed. As Matthew Henry puts it, God with us overcome the people with kindness. And you think about the cords of a man. What kind of man did God send to lead the people? It was the meekest man on the earth. And see how the Lord's dealings are in a way of love and kindness, sending Moses, the meekest man on earth. How the Lord wins the people by love in his mild manner of dealing with them, all to win their hearts. And so, accordingly, we read, he says, "And I was to them as they that take off the yoke on their jaws, and I laid meat unto them." And that is referring to a beast of burden, an animal that the master takes good care of. A man takes care of his animal, taking the bridle and the yoke off the ox so that he lays straw in front of it to feed it. So the Lord is saying that he delivered his people from the yoke of bondage in Egypt, and he provided for them in the desert. How the Lord takes care of his people. Or it might mean that when the yoke is placed upon the beast of burden, that the yoke is kept away from the jaws in order to let the animal continue to feed. As we read, it was a law in the land of Israel, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth the corn. So while the ox is doing the work, it is not to be muzzled. And so God is saying that though he requires his people to serve him, he does not forbid their getting good from him. He removes the yoke in such a way that they can have all their needs met. He supplies them with good. So the Lord is saying that he gives them all that they need, drawing them with cords of a man, with bands of love. He carried them, he upheld them, he provided for them the rites and ceremonies, the institutions, the types and sacrifices, all to instruct them, to help them. He was not giving them an unbearable yoke when he gave them the ceremonies. Remember, friends, he had delivered them from the yoke of bondage. That bondage was in Egypt, and they had left that. The ceremonial law was not a hard yoke. The ceremonial law became a yoke and bondage only when they looked to the law and the ceremonies for righteousness. But the fact is, the ceremonial law pointed them to the righteousness of Christ, and that is where they would find salvation. God gave them the promises of the coming Messiah, how God was drawing them with cords of a man, with bands of love, and he gave them, sending to them the prophets to warn them, that they would turn from their sins, that there would be hope, that they would not perish, that they would not be destroyed by the Assyrians and Babylonians. How the goodness of God should have led them to repentance, and how the goodness of God should lead us to repentance today. So it should be for us who are in the visible church. I drew them with cords of a man, with bands of love. And we see how these words are now applied to the visible church. I drew them with cords of a man, with bands of love. Are you being drawn with the cords of a man, with bands of love? Well, pay attention to these words as we see how they are applied even to you tonight. Yes, you, friend, in the visible church, you may not be a true believer, but you are a visible member in his church, attending all the means of grace. And see the wonderful benefits that God has granted even to us, which should draw us to himself. I drew them with cords of a man, with bands of love. And as a member of the visible church, God has been good to you. You have experienced the amazing goodness of God far beyond many millions in this world. Others do not have the truth, but you do. Others have not heard the gospel, but you have. Others do not have the preaching of the word, which you do. How shall they believe on him of whom they have not heard? But you have heard him, and there is hope for you. O friend, believe in him, and may the amazing benefits that you have enjoyed be leading you to God in his love. What are those benefits? Take a look and see. Think about what God says, and I was to them as they that take off the yoke on their jaws, and I laid meat unto them. Has God taken the yoke off you? Well, think of it this way. What a mercy it is to be openly engaged to be the Lord's, to enter into a professed engagement to be holy and only the Lord's, to renounce the world, the flesh, and the devil, which is through baptism. And we're speaking for many of you, to those who have been baptized, members of the visible church. God has taken the yoke off of you, and that is the stigma of the world. To have the stigma of the world is part of the yoke of Satan. And God has removed that from you. He has given you this wonderful privilege of being a member of the visible church, and you are in the kingdom of God, at least visibly. Yes, you need to be in the kingdom of God by the new birth. But as far as the outward, visible manifestation of God's kingdom in the visible church, you have these privileges. It's as if the privileges of the visible church have embraced you. But again, friend, you need to come to Christ, or else you also will be left to perish with the world. Flee to Christ. And think about how God laid meat or gave food to the Israelites and providing for them. God is giving you not only the means of grace, but he's giving you the true bread from heaven in the gospel offer. And Christ is your Savior in the free offer of the gospel. And if you receive him in your soul, he will be your Savior in your soul, in your heart, in possession. You will have him indeed and in fact. And God is taking off the yoke in this way, in that when he requires you to serve him, he does not command you to serve him without providing the promise of his grace. He offers all the strength and help that you need in order to serve him with love and joy in this world. How this should encourage you, how the cords of a man and bands of love revealed in the gospel should draw you. And as God carried the children of Israel in the wilderness, can it not be said, God is leading you in providence? Why is it that you have not perished long ago? Why is that? It's because God is good to you. For those who are employed, why do you have this good-paying job? Why? It's because God has been kind to you. Why do you have all your needs met? Is it because you are good? No, it is because God is good. God is good to you. And that should lead you to him. The goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. That's the effect it should have upon you. God is good to you. He is good to all his creatures. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. And God did not leave himself without witness, Paul says. God gave testimony to the fact of his kindness to sinners throughout the centuries, as Paul says, that God was filling our hearts with food and gladness. All of this should lead us tonight to God in repentance. How is it then with you? Are you being led to God? Are you going to God? Are you crying for mercy, the mercy of God in Christ? Are you seeking him with all your heart? Are you trying, friend, to turn from those besetting sins, looking to his offered grace? You have destroyed yourself by your sin, but God is saying, in me is thy help. Pray that the Holy Spirit would draw you. I drew them with cords of a man, with bands of love. Think about all the privileges that you have being a member of the visible church. Again, we've mentioned already the preaching of the gospel in public worship, gathering with the saints of God in the solemn assembly, having received the sacrament of baptism. And don't forget the good examples that surround you, the good upbringing that many of you have had. Some have had priceless privileges, having godly parents or even grandparents who led them along, who instructed them and helped them and taught them. Think about Timothy. Are there not Timothys in our congregation that have learned the scriptures and from a child? And Paul says that the scriptures were able to make him wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ. God is dealing with us with the cords of a man, dealing with us in ways that are suitable to our capacity. He knows that we're not capable of grasping everything at once, but he teaches us. He, through his servants, is preaching to us again and again, Sabbath by Sabbath, little by little, according to our needs and our capacities, should this lead us to Himself? We have so many promises and invitations from the Word of God that should draw us to Christ in the free offer of the gospel. Again, do you value these privileges? What if you were brought up in Iran or some other Muslim country where the gospel is very little heard, if at all? And you could have been left to heathen darkness and never know of a precious Savior who came to seek and to save that which was lost. But you are hearing the gospel. Oh, that Christ would be precious to you, that you would come to Jesus. I drew them with cords of a man, with bands of love. Pray that these things would encourage you, that the Holy Spirit would draw you. And again, see in these outward privileges of the visible church all that is fitted to attract us to the Lord, all that should encourage us to go to God in prayer, in seeking the Lord with our whole heart. The goodness of God leads you to repentance. I drew them with cords of a man, with bands of love. And are we responding to the amazing kindness of God? See, friends, how God is, in a sense, even now, drawing us with the cords of a man, with bands of love. As we've been saying, God is good to all His creatures. We can say that He is full of compassion, as He is indeed even to those who are yet in darkness, as it was with Nineveh to a certain extent, when God says to Jonah, should not I spare Nineveh, that great city, wherein are more than 60,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, and also much cattle? God has a tender regard for children, to use the words of Matthew Henry. And these people in Nineveh, they were the work of God's own hands. Surely God's pity and compassion comes out. And this is the cords of a man to draw us to God in His love. This is the revelation of God's character, which should draw you, friend. God is not harsh. God is not uncaring. And he tells us, even by swearing by Himself, that He has no pleasure in the death of the wicked. How that should draw us to go to God in repentance. God is love, and this wonderful, amazing perfection of God, this character of God, of His divine nature, should draw us to Him. And when you think about, again, whom God has sent to preach to you, He has not sent angels to you to frighten you away. I drew them with cords of a man, with bands of love. Ministers that Christ has sent to us are men, subject to like passions with ourselves, but their love and earnest desire and their tears for their hearers are produced by the Holy Spirit in them. Yes, the Lord draws us through His ministers with the cords of a man, and yet the love that is put in the heart is by the power of the Spirit. It is divine in that God has done it. I drew them with cords of a man, with bands of love. It is God's love that is revealed in the preaching of the gospel and sending His servants to preach in love to us. God is calling to us. He is drawing us with cords of a man, with bands of love. And who will deny that there was pity and compassion and feeling in the tender heart of Christ when He was weeping over the future destruction of Jerusalem? Yes, the Lord Jesus was both God and man in two distinct natures in one person forever. See the cords of a man. I drew them with cords of a man, with bands of love. Jesus wept over the people. He groaned when he saw the havoc that sin had wreaked upon human nature. He marveled at their unbelief. He wept over their unbelief. See how the Lord Jesus draws sinners by who he is and the compassion that he manifested. How he draws them, the publicans and sinners and others, they knew that there was no one like Jesus. And they were drawn to him. They perhaps could not understand what they felt. And maybe it wasn't always saving grace, but they were being drawn. Their feelings were touched. Something must have drawn the rich young ruler to Christ. Perhaps he thought, well, this is a teacher. There's nobody like this teacher. I will now get an answer to that great question I've always had. Of course, he didn't like the answer, and he went away grieved. But we don't know what happened to him later. And when Zacchaeus sought to find out who Jesus was, what was it? What was that desire? Was it curiosity? We don't know exactly what it was, but we do know this. It wasn't by accident. I drew them with cords of a man, with bands of love. And others, no doubt, would have felt that his teaching was with authority and with gentleness and approachableness at the same time. What about yourself, friend? Have you felt more interested in the truth lately? Are you feeling that there is something to this and you cannot ignore it? And do you think that is by accident? Nothing is by chance. Is there not something of the goodness of God in this? Are you being pulled to these things to consider them more seriously? God in his providence is taking you by the hand and leading you to a more serious look at his truth. Oh, that you would hear his call, that you would hear him distinctly, that you would hear him for the salvation of your soul. The publicans and sinners drew near to hear them. What drew them? Well, they knew, they must have known that no one cared for them like Christ did. And love responded to love, even if it was mere human emotion at first. The cords of a man, the man Christ Jesus, was drawing them. Are you being drawn? Are you being pulled even a little? Is the Holy Spirit not striving with you? Indeed, Christ is knocking at your heart. How amazed you should be. There is hope for you. Can you not tell something is different? But don't rest in that feeling. Because it's not feelings that we need, not just feelings. We need Christ. But even in a certain sense, can it not be said, even of you today, I drew them with cords of a man, with bands of love. There is goodness, there is kindness in these dealings. Do not spurn the goodness of God. Do not reject the offered grace of God. Paul the Apostle says about the gospel, receive not the grace of God in vain. Let not these things just pull and play on your emotions. Let these wonderful benefits pull you and draw you to Christ. Give up yourself to these dealings of God with your soul. Give yourself up to these things. Give yourself up to Jesus Christ. Do not be disobedient. Do not be disobeying the gospel. Do not rebel against the Lord Jesus. God says of the people of Israel, all day long I have stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. Oh, let this not be said of you. God is stretching out his hands to you throughout your whole life long. Oh, be taken in, friend, and lay hold of eternal life. Lay hold of Christ. As the Apostle Peter says, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And he was laying hold of Christ. I drew them with cords of a man, with bands of love. And the cords of a man and bands of love are perhaps even more clearly seen in the case of the child of God. I drew them with cords of a man with bands of love. Thirdly, the child of God. Those who are true believers in Christ were drawn by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit revealed Christ to them. They received a view of the man Christ Jesus. They were drawn by the cords of a man. They were attracted to Christ who was on the cross, crucified, who said, "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." Have you been drawn to Christ? Have you seen the preciousness of Christ? Have you embraced him in your heart, being drawn, as it were, so that you had no choice but to choose him because you felt attracted to him? That is the saving work of the Holy Spirit. I drew them with cords of a man, with bands of love. And those who are drawn to Christ, who are savingly united to him, come to realize that it was the everlasting love of God that drew them, being drawn to Christ himself, to the glorious person of Christ, to his precious blood and righteousness, being drawn to him, to be saved by him, to be covered by his righteousness, drawn to Christ and drawn away from sin, seeing the loveliness of Christ and his preciousness. Those who are drawn to Christ come to understand that it was because God loved them first from eternity. The amazing love of God, chosen in Christ, they are loved in God's Son from eternity, as we read in Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 3, "The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love, therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee." God drew them with cords of a man in compassion to their souls, and bands of love, divine and eternal. I drew them with cords of a man with bands of love. Oh, the wonderful love of God. As Charles Hodge states, "The love of a holy God to sinners is the most mysterious attribute of the divine nature. Wondrous love that he loved me, a poor, unlovely sinner. He loved me and gave himself for me, who deserves his wrath and curse. Oh, the drawing with cords of a man with bands of love. Thy love to me is wonderful." Oh, that is an amazing love that loves not only the helpless, but the polluted. When God compares the salvation of his people to rescuing an infant that was abandoned in the open field, the little one was polluted in his own blood, but God passes by and says, "Live. I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live." And what kind of situation was that there that we read in Ezekiel chapter 16? Well, listen to verse 8. "Now when I passed by thee and looked upon thee, behold, thy time was the time of love. I drew them with cords of a man with bands of love." He rescues the poor, helpless, polluted sinner from being wallowing in his or her own blood of sin and guilt, to be washed in the precious cleansing blood of Christ, to be covered with the beautiful garments of his salvation, his righteousness, and also sanctification, clothing his people with meekness and humility, making them beautiful in his sight, giving them all the benefits of the covenant of grace. All these benefits are in the offer of the gospel, and all of these benefits are in the possession of believers, because God has drawn them with the cords of a man with a wondrous love and divine compassion. Yes, he drew them to embrace Christ, to give them all the benefits of the covenant of grace, forgiveness, adoption, purifying power, assurance of God's unchanging love, unwavering peace of conscience, more and more, and solid joy and satisfaction, all in Christ, to be enjoyed more and more in this life till they enjoy it most fully and perfectly in heaven above, to be with Christ, which is far better. I drew them with cords of a man, with bands of love. What was it when they were first converted that they began to see? They were seeing the freeness of salvation. They were seeing love and kindness in the offer of the gospel. Are you seeing it? Are you seeing it now? Are you beginning to see it just a little? Well, if you're seeing it at all, it is the work of the Spirit. The Father, by the power of the Spirit, reveals Christ to sinners, as Peter was told so plainly when he said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus said, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." And Peter experienced the saving grace of God when he received the view of Christ and saw his preciousness, and he later on says, as you know, in the first letter that he writes, "Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious." Is Jesus precious and lovely to you? Are you drawn to him and away from sin? You see the bitterness of sin. You see the pleasantness of serving Christ. Yes, you're seeing something you never saw before, being drawn to Christ. It is the work of the Spirit. It is evidence of being a child of God. I drew them with cords of a man, with bands of love. And when the sinner sees this love of God in Christ for the first time, the heart is captivated for eternity. Yes, there is a holy captivation which is bound up with the liberty wherewith Christ makes us free. On the one hand, we are Christ's servant. On the other hand, we are Christ's free man. But in all of it, we are absolutely set free from the dominion of sin, and we have perfect liberty when we are most fully devoted to the service of Christ. God's people, they see in a new light how that sin is slavery. Whereas before conversion, the person thought that it would be wonderful to give free rein to sin. But now the child of God sees that to be bondage, that there is liberty in serving Christ, because Christ said, "He that committeth sin is the servant of sin." But the Lord's people are truly free. "If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." God says, "I am to you as they that take off the yoke on their jaws, and I lay meat, I lay provision to you." He gives us spiritual food. He provides all that we need. He takes off the yoke of Satan. He gives us the yoke of Christ, which is an easy yoke, because service to Satan is slavery, but service to Christ is liberty. And the Lord's people see more and more the wonderful kindness of God, that God is rich in mercy, that he has drawn them from the waters of death and made them to sit in heavenly places in Christ, established upon the rock that Christ is for the foundation of their salvation, the security of their souls to all eternity, all because of the amazing mercy and majesty of God, the cords of a man, the bands of love, God by his grace drawing them to himself, causing us to approach the Lord. As we read in Psalm 65, the blessedness of that man who is drawn to the Lord. Praise waiteth for thee, O God, in Zion, unto thee shall the vow be performed. And verse 4, blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even of thy holy temple. Now, friend, again, what about yourself? Where does all of this leave you? What do you think of Christ's yoke? What do you think of God's love? What God has done for his people, he is able to do for you. You have experienced God's goodness. Will not these cords draw you? The cords of God's love revealed in the gospel. Are you going to put them off you? When you're in the dungeon and the voice says, put your arms over these cords, like it was said to Jeremiah, are you going to say, no, I'd rather stay in the dungeon? What folly! What madness! Don't commit spiritual insanity by casting off God's cords from you. Instead, kiss the Son lest he be angry, and draw near to him who calls you. He invites you to come. He is calling. He is calling with loving voice. Hear his voice, and do not harden your heart. Come to Jesus, and be wrapped up in the bundle of life forever. I drew them with cords of a man, with bands of love. May he bless his word. Let us pray. O Lord, may it please thee to draw the hearts of each sinner among us, that we all would come to thee, made willing in a day of thy power, to embrace the truth, to close with Christ. O, make him precious to us, that we would see his suitableness to our need. We are sinners on the way to eternity, but he died for sinners, to give life, to save from the wrath to come. Turn away thy wrath from us, and lift up the light of thy countenance upon us through Jesus Christ. Shine on us with thy face. Cause us to see the mercy of God as the rays of the sun beaming into our souls. Melt our hearts, that Christ would be lovely to us, that we would love him and serve him by thy grace. Be with us now. Bless the congregation. Provide for each one. Pardon our many sins, for Jesus' sake. Amen. We will conclude by singing to God's praise from Psalm 45. Psalm 45, the first version of the psalm from verse 11. Verse 10. Psalm 45, verse 10. O daughter, hearken and regard, and do thine ear incline. Likewise forget thy father's house and people that are thine. Then of the king desired shall be thy beauty vehemently. Because he is thy Lord, do thou him worship reverently. The daughter there of Tyre shall be with gifts and offerings great, and those of the people that are rich thy favor shall entreat. Behold, the daughter of the king, all glorious is within, and with embroideries of gold her garments wrought have been. She shall be brought unto the king in robes with needle wrought. Her fellow virgins following shall unto thee be brought. Psalm 45, first version, verse 10, five stanzas to God's praise. O daughter, hearken and regard.
O daughter, hearken and regard. Peace.
us conclude. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.